This morning, we invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We've been looking at the Gospel of John now for about a year and 5 months, so we're already up to chapter 15 as we continue to look at God's Word. John 15, beginning in verse 18, going through the end of the chapter. John 15, 18. Jesus is speaking here in these verses, and he begins by saying, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Let's look to the Lord. Father, we are so thankful for your Son, the fact that he was willing to come and live a sinless life and suffer, bleed, and die for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for this instruction before us this morning. Pray that it would encourage us, help us to know that your Spirit indwells us today, and that our Lord Jesus loves us and cares for us even through persecution. We thank you for this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. The Apostle John uses the word world often in his writings, whether it's in the Gospel of John or 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. The context tells us what he's referring to in each usage. In our passage today, he's referring not to the globe that we live on or all the people who live on it, but rather to the system that rules over the lands of the earth. It is this system that opposes God and his plan for salvation by grace alone, through faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. This system of the world was made manifest at the Tower of Babel, when the peoples of the world decided they would go contrary to God's plan for them. This system can take a secular as well as a religious form. This world system hates true biblical Christianity. This system hates and persecutes Christians. It did in the first century. It does today. So why is this so? This morning we'd like to look at three reasons why this world system hates believers and persecutes us. First of all, because believers are identified with God. We have a warning of the coming hatred in verse 18 when Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Jesus Christ was not going to sugarcoat what was coming for his disciples. He loved them and he cared for them. And he knew what would happen as he sent them out in his name, that as they persecuted him, so they would persecute us. He knew that the world hated him
and therefore would hate those that went forth with his message. It wasn't hypothetical. It was a warning of the coming hatred that Jesus knew would come. And he loved his disciples. And he wanted to prepare them. He wants to prepare us so that we understand when persecution does come, it's something that we should expect. And it did come. And it does come. And it is coming today. Again, the grammatical makeup of this verse implies the actuality of the hatred. The people that follow this world system hate Jesus and those that stand for him. Jesus is declaring the chilling reality here. The world will hate us. But Jesus offers us comfort by reassuring us that he shared in the contempt that this world heaps upon us. They hated him first, they also will hate us. He's told us in the latter verses here that when he would go back to heaven, he would send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who would help us through these difficulties of life. Jesus Christ offers us comfort, and he sent the Comforter to be there to help us even today. The world hated Jesus Christ before it hated us. And as verse 25 tells us, it was without cause. It says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written. They hated me without a cause. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ coming in love, declaring forgiveness of sins through belief in his name. And they said, you know what? We don't like that. Let's kill him. Jesus said, God loves you. They said, we don't need that love. Let's kill him. Jesus says, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you would not. And they killed him. Jesus was love personified. And yet, as he came to his own received him not because they followed a false teaching and a false system that tried to use works to get to God rather than faith through Jesus Christ. The world hated Christ before it hated us. Again, without cause. He came as the loving Savior, and they despised him and rejected him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, even though he came in love. But that is not all. The world also hates God the Father. Verse 23. The Bible says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Not only do they hate the Son, they hate the Father. And the Jews that Jesus came to in his day claimed God as their Father. In John 8, verse 41, as we've seen some time ago. But they claimed Christ was demon-possessed in John 8, verse 48. There's a real problem there. If you hate the one, you hate the other also. So because they hated Jesus, they really hated the Father and pretended they loved him. But they didn't. A person cannot reject Christ's death for sin once for all and truly love God. Let me repeat that. A person cannot reject Christ's death for sin once for all and truly love God. If you reject God's message through Jesus, you reject the Father as well. Now, why does the world hate God and believers that identify with him? Romans chapter 8, verse 7 tells us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal man, without God, rejects God and hates God. Doesn't want to have anything to do with God until God touches the heart and opens the soul. The world is totally opposed to God by its nature. God's authority, and this is what so many people hate today. I'm not going to take a poll. You can just think it through in your mind. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But how many of us like it when somebody tells us what to do? You know, God is the ultimate source of telling us what to do. And when God tells people what to do, and that they don't love God and don't like God, what are they going to do? They're going to react against him. God's authority, my friends, is absolute. It does not change. It is not like in a world of relativism, where everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. What do you mean I can't do that? What do you mean that's wrong? I don't think there's anything such as right or wrong. Everybody just does what they want, and you can do two opposite things and both be perfect and fine. That's what the world says today. So it doesn't surprise us. When God says this is the way it is, that many people in the world would say, I'm not going to accept that. In this world of relativism, where everyone's doing what is right in his own eyes. My friends, God does not govern based on opinion polls, praise God. He doesn't see what people want and then says, that's what I'm going to do. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And therefore, God is hated along with those who stand on his unchanging principles. Even religious people that are not following God hated Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests of Jesus' day hated him for his message because they weren't following the Father. They hated his message of grace that past, present, and future sins could be forgiven instantaneously. They didn't like that because they wanted to go through all the ritual and formality of this and that and the other thing and making disciples after themselves, which turned out to be twofold more the child of hell than themselves. They didn't like the message of grace. And there are a lot of people today that don't like the message of grace. They want to work their way to heaven. They want to do something themselves to merit God's favor. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We can't work our way to heaven. All we can do is accept God's gift of free grace as we recognize ourselves as sinners and ask the risen Savior to forgive us and come into our lives. The person that's trying to work his way to heaven doesn't like that message. Christ proclaimed that sinners only need to trust him apart from any works. Christ was hated, and therefore his followers are hated as well, because we proclaim the message of salvation through faith alone. Again, look at history. The apostles were persecuted wherever they went. Nearly every one of the apostles was martyred, with the possible exception of John. Christians through the centuries have been crucified, burned at the stake, pulled apart by horses, burned as human torches, and beheaded. Just to name a few of the ways that they have been persecuted and killed. True believers still endure persecution today. You can hear of the persecution and the death that has rained down upon believers in other parts of the world today, and even coming to our shores with violence and Islamic terror. True believers are today also ridiculed and mocked and slandered. These things should not surprise us. Jesus forewarned us. Jesus said it would happen. And in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if we're living for God, persecution will find us. I like how J.C. Ryle put it. He said, real, vital Christianity will always bring with it a cross. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. There will be difficulties, but there will be the Savior coming alongside and the Holy Spirit comforting us even in the midst of trials and persecution. Yet no matter how holy and consistent we live, it will not stop wicked people from hating Christ's servants, just as they hated our sinless master in the first century. The religious leaders of Jesus' day all opposed him. They wanted him dead. They plotted for his execution. Why? Jesus said, because I told you the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They're opposed to it, and they're opposed to God. He spoke the truth, and they hated it. Again, we must remember, when we are persecuted, we're in excellent company. Amen? Jesus was persecuted. The Christians of the past were persecuted. But then secondly, there's another reason that I think we see here in Scripture, is because believers have been chosen out of the world, and we are no longer part of it. Look at verse 19. Jesus says, if ye were of the world, again, in the world system, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Believers have been chosen out of the world, and we're no longer part of it. Therefore, we are hated. This verse reminds me of the chorus that we sometimes sing. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's a great change since I've been born again. And that shows, at least it should. And people will hate us because we're different than them. The very fact that Jesus Christ has chosen believers out of the world and its system places us in a different category from others. We are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new nature. By grace. Again, nothing to gloat over. Nothing to take pride in. We're simply sinners saved by grace. But we are saved by grace alone. And those that are trying to work their way to God or work their way through some other system to be better don't want to have anything to do with that message or those that proclaim it. As believers, we have a new aim in life. To glorify or magnify God. People that don't want to do that really aren't very happy when we do that with our lives and with our message. The world does not understand our motives, nor does it feel comfortable in our company, by and large. A Christian in a group usually cuts down on the off-color jokes. Men look with suspicion and jealousy upon those who possess abilities or features that make them stand out from the crowd. Hey, you're different! And the world system doesn't like different. They want everybody to be the same and to go their way. Christians are to stand up and be counted. Christ has chosen us as believers to be different from the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world notices and doesn't like it. The world hates us because we are not like it. We have a different faith and live a different life. The world loves its own, and it would love us if our standard of faith and life was like their own. But praise God, it is not. I remember many years ago, I was working at a halfway house for boys that had gotten out of reform school and were trying to transition back into society. And I had an opportunity to witness to these kids. I would stay overnight sometimes, and I'd cook for them. And most of the time, I played ping pong with them. They just needed somebody there to supervise. So I played ping pong, and you know, everybody, whoever won kept playing. And so anyway, as I was playing ping pong with this one boy, he's about 15 years old, but he looked like 21, 22, big, husky, strong kid. And I would play, if you listen to WCTS radio, I'd play the Singspiration songs, you know, Singspiration with Paul Fosmark, and I'd bring that along my little, those times we had cassette tape players, remember what those were? And I'd put that by the ping pong table, and I'd listen to Paul Fosmark's Singspiration time at Fourth Baptist. And I'd be playing ping pong, and this kid I was playing with, he looked at me and said, I don't like that music. I only like Christian rock, but I don't like that music. Why? Because he didn't know the Lord. So it wasn't a surprise to me that he didn't like the music. I wish I could tell you he got saved, but later on I saw his picture on TV and he had murdered a guy in South Dakota who was in state prison. Again, God gave him opportunity, he rejected it, followed his own way. But that's why the world hates us, because we're not of the world. Christ causes us to differ from the world and its worldly system. Persecution shows that we are really born again, and it should therefore, in a real sense, encourage us to know that He is with us and He's forewarned us. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 12, 11, and 12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." It's happened to me. Perhaps it's happened to you. But Jesus tells us why we should rejoice. He should rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's happened before. It'll happen now. It'll happen in the future. But when people persecute us and say all manner of evil against us falsely for the sake of Jesus, we need to be rejoicing. In fact, I've been half tempted to say, "Hey, thanks a lot. You're helping me to get better rewards in heaven." But again, persecution. Jesus said, "Rejoice, for your reward will be great in heaven." But there's a third reason I see why believers are persecuted today, and that is found verses 20 to 22, and it's this: believers expose the sin of the world, even as Jesus did. Look at verse 20. "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If ye have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin." And believers are persecuted because we expose the sin of the world, even as Jesus did. Believers will be treated no better than Jesus. As we think about the message of Jesus and His life and His death and His resurrection, Jesus was either right or wrong when He exposed the sins of the Israelites of His day. Now I'm coming to a point. Again, based on Scripture, He of course was right. Amen? What He did and what He said and how He lived and what He did for our sins was the right thing to do, even though so many in His day thought it was wrong and crucified Him for what He did. Again, based on Scripture, He was right. He did the right thing. He said the right words. He preached the right gospel. And His teachings exposed sin. Even as we stand up and say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is the message that God has given us to preach. And is the message that we need to receive. And people that hear us need to receive it. His teachings are correct. We need to expose the sin of the world and invite people to come to Jesus to have their sins forgiven and to have a life in heaven. His teachings were correct. They exposed the sin of the world. And for us today, in 21st century America, it is not bigoted or narrow-minded to believe and practice what Jesus taught. Amen? Amen? Okay, that's better. We need to proclaim what Jesus taught. Jesus accepted the hatred from those who opposed the truth as a matter of course. He accepted the hatred. He accepted the persecution. He accepted the crucifixion as a matter of course. And He is telling us here that we must do likewise as the logical consequences of following Him. If we're going to follow Him, we need to do what He did. We need to say what He said. We need to preach like He preached. What was the chief reason why Jesus was hated? I think if you boil it all down, it's because He exposed sin. He revealed the darkness of the world's system. He revealed the darkness of the world's sin. He revealed the darkness that dwelt in the hearts of those that were trying to work their way to God apart from grace. And the people that he preached to didn't like it. His words and deeds made men's sins inexcusable, and they could no longer claim ignorance to hide their guilt, because he exposed it. Have you ever heard a child say when he's caught cheating in a game, "I didn't know the rules"? You ever heard that? "I didn't know the rules"? That's what Jesus did. He took away the excuse. "We didn't know." Jesus said, "Yes, you do know, because here it is. You were trying to hide behind, but now it's exposed." He took away the excuse, "We didn't know." Christ exposed sin. And look at again, verse 22. He was hated for it. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin." They didn't have a cloak to hide behind, because Jesus pulled the cloak away and said, "Here's the sin." And he exposed them for what they were. Hypocritical sinners that strained at a gnat, swallowed a camel, as Jesus said. They bought hook, line, and sinker the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. My friends, when we stand up for what is right and point out sin for what it is, we will be hated by those who have had their toes stepped upon. When we say marriage is between a man and a woman for life, people that don't want to believe that are not going to be happy. When we say when we kill little babies in the womb that that's wrong, people that think it's okay are not going to be happy. When we say you shouldn't steal, when you shouldn't, isn't that death count in Las Vegas horrid? The man opening up and killing all those people and wounding 500 or some people. You know, somehow or other, the world sees that as evil. And it is evil. But when it's personalized, so many people want to excuse their own sin, though they might see it in somebody else. We need to pray and ask God to help us expose sin in our own lives and the lives of others, so that we can have it dealt with and we can put it under the blood of Christ. It can be forgiven. Because that was the ultimate reason Christ exposed sin, so that people could acknowledge it and accept his forgiveness. Now they rejected it, didn't want to hear it. And you know what? We don't know who's going to want to hear it and who's not going to want to hear it. We read testimony from our letter this morning in Sunday school about some who responded and asked Jesus to forgive them. We never know who might or who might not receive it, but we need to give it out. And as sin is exposed, if people will receive it, they'll get saved. If not, don't be surprised if they hate us. When we stand up for what is right and point out sin, people reject it, we will be hated by those who have their toes stepped on. We will suffer persecution if we live godly lives. The question is, how will we bear up under the persecution? Christ wants us to go through it with the assurance that, one, we are pleasing him. If possible, we should have a smile on our lips and surely joy in our hearts, knowing that he walks beside us, that he's in us, the Holy Spirit comforts us, and that he will stand with us. Our attitude should mirror the attitudes of Christ when he hung on the cross. Do you remember the words, one of the phrases that Jesus spoke on the cross as he looked down on those that put him on the cross, that were crucifying him? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Stephen, as he was being stoned for his testimony of the Lord Jesus, again prayed for those that stoned him. We need to have the spirit of Jesus Christ and the spirit of Stephen, as they both prayed for their persecutors. We should pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. persecution may be severe, and the fact of possible death is being suffered over the course of many people over the centuries, or it may be ridicule or mocking, as some suffered or are suffering today. The persecution can have a very good effect on our lives, for it often drives us nearer to Christ and nearer to His Word for comfort and strength. Jesus loved His disciples. Jesus loves us as His disciples today. And He lets us know that persecution will come. And when it does, maybe you're already suffering some form today, may we respond in a biblical manner and thus glorify God. Father, we thank You for the warning. We thank You for the words of Christ. They hated Your Son. They will hate us. But help us, Lord, to have the love of Christ dwelling in our hearts and souls. To pray for those that despitefully use us. To give out the word that changes lives. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.